Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Front Lines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are the alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they want to, which about one in every three do. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degree graduate certificates online or on campus. So if you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to talk with retired Navy Captain Joe John about his organization, Combat Veterans for Congress. Then retired Army Colonel Doug Mastriano will discuss the Uniformed Services League, on whose military advisory board we both serve. And Paula Lieberman from the Friends of the IDF will share about a Holocaust trip to Poland and will review May's movie of the month. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my good friend, retired Navy Captain Joe John. Joe is a founder and chair of Combat Veterans for Congress, and I recently joined his board. So, welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom, Joe.
Good to be back with you, Denny.
Joe, you had quite a career, both in the Navy and in the FBI and doing some other things. Give us a quick thumbnail view of that.
Well, I served in the Navy, active and reserve, for 30 years and 3 months. And after I got out, I did some consulting work. And then when 9/11 happened, I went back into federal service in the new organization called Department of Homeland Security. And while I was there doing counterterrorist work, I got recruited by the FBI. And then went to Quantico FBI Academy, graduated, and then went to work for the FBI. And I have since left that and started this organization called the Combat Veterans for Congress. We've been doing this for 10 years. We've elected 35 combat veterans to Congress, 3 U.S. senators, and 32 U.S. congressmen.
And the only challenge is we need more. And so, Joe, the big attraction to me of Combat Veterans for Congress, one, of course, we need combat veterans in Congress. But just because somebody's a combat veteran does mean he loves his country or her country enough to put his life on the line for it. But there's got to be some values there, too. And it's the values that you have attached to the endorsement of combat veterans for Congress that I appreciate. Would you talk about the values that you require endorsed candidates to subscribe to?
Yeah, we've interviewed over 500 combat veterans. We've endorsed 120. We've endorsed combat veterans in every type and shape you can imagine, libertarians, independents, conservatives, Republicans. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get a Democrat to endorse our mission statement. Before we endorse anyone, we have them review our mission statement and tell us they endorse that, and then we go forward with the preparations to do their endorsement. And unfortunately, we haven't had a Democrat to say they would endorse our mission statement. However, it's not a very complex statement. It basically says we're dedicated to elect physically conservative combat veterans for Congress. And veterans who believe in limited government, and this is the line I believe the Democrats can't agree with, rein in the out-of-control of spending by Congress. And two or three of our potential endorsees said they just couldn't agree to that because the control in the House, Nancy Pelosi, would not agree that they've agreed to do that. And we also have them say they would preserve and defend the U.S. Constitution, support the independent and freedom of the individual as outlined in the Bill of Rights, and we support combat veterans who are dedicated to promoting the free enterprise system that created the greatest economic engine in the history of mankind, who will provide for a strong national defense, and will endorse the teachings of U.S. history and the Founding Fathers, core values, and educational institutions. Our mission statement is apple pie and ice cream. It's not something that people can't agree. Most Americans would agree with everything we've said. We've not talked about parties. We've just talked about the positive things about our country. And as I said, we've interviewed over 500 combat veterans, and I'd say 99% of them have said they would endorse our mission statement. So that's the basis for the entire organization, our mission statement.
Okay. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing combat veterans for Congress with Captain Joe John. And Joe, that's really the purpose of combat veterans for Congress. It's pretty self-evident. Combat veterans who want to run for Congress because we need people in Congress who love America enough that they're not just looking for a cool place to work, but they were willing to put their lives on the line. That's a fantastic idea. And as you just described the value statement, it's pretty simple. We don't want out-of-control spending, and we want our freedoms protected. That's hardly radical, is it?
It's not a radical idea. You know, the whole idea of this organization, Congressman Barry Goldwater and I got together 10 years ago, and we were talking about the number of combat veterans in Congress in 1945, and the numbers were very large. About 95% of everyone elected to Congress had served in the armed forces in the Second World War. And of course, it's down to a very small percentage today. Very few people have served in combat. And if you served in combat, and you have served in combat, Denny, you put your life on the line to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. We raised our right hand and said that. And so we were trying to get the right kind of people in the Congress who would protect and defend the Constitution and who were similar to the congressmen who served in 1945. So that was the purpose of developing this organization.
Well, it's a worthy goal. I hope you haven't given up on it.
No. We've endorsed 17 combat veterans to run or be reelected for Congress thus far, and we expect by 2020, before the 2020 election, we will probably have endorsed upwards of 40 combat veterans to run for Congress. One of our goals is to take back the 40 seats that were lost in the midterm election. We lost 7 seats right here in California because of ballot harvesting, which is illegal in 49 other states. And we're trying to make a difference by encouraging combat veterans to try to take back some of those seats.
Well, folks, Joe is right on. As I said, I just joined his board, so obviously I agree. But once we identify these good people, it takes money and volunteers to help get them elected. So our call to you is go to combatveteransforcongress.org, take a look at us, donate some money, find out who the candidates are, get involved. It's our country. If we don't do the job, we don't have any right to complain. Joe, one final thought. How can people get in touch? What's the website again?
The website is www.combatveterans, veterans plural, combatveteransforcongress.org. They go to the website, and you can go to different pages to learn about who we've endorsed, who the alumni are. We've got a lot of alumni who are on the alumni page, and we've got an endorsement page. We also have a leadership page, which Denny and myself are on, and our bios are on that page and our photos. So I encourage all of you, if you are in a very tight financial situation and someone is running in your area, you can work in that campaign. If you can't afford, even a $10 donation is acceptable and appreciated. You don't have to make a $1,000 donation. Many of the people who donate to us are retired military, and their total donation each year is much less than $100. So if you can't, we don't want you not to help us if you can't afford it, but you certainly can work in a campaign and get to meet these combat veterans for Congress.
Joe, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation back then, and thank you for what you're doing now. I'm proud to serve on your board and to call you brother.
Well, thank you, Denny. We're proud to have you on board. You're a true combat veteran, earned the Silver Star, 5 Bronze Stars. You're a hero's hero, and thank you, too.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll discuss the Uniformed Services League with Colonel Doug Mastriano. Then we'll discuss a Holocaust trip to Poland with Paula Lieberman. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want you to balance on 1 foot for 3 minutes, then balance on the other foot for 3 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with DECA to provide a taste of home to our commissary patrons around the world.
From canned beans to instant oatmeal, the Freedom's Choice brand has all your favorite food items, made exclusively for our nation's armed forces and families with the quality, value, and integrity you deserve.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. A man in Florida thought it was a good idea to show his pistol to a friend while inside his church. He fired the gun without intending to, and both he and his wife were taken to the hospital with wounds to the hand and the stomach. Sometimes people think carrying a gun is a cool novelty, but guard against this temptation. Only draw your firearm when you need to for self-defense. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I ordered my men to open fire on the enemy in Vietnam. For doing the same thing in Afghanistan, Lieutenant Clint Lawrence was court-martialed and sent to Fort Leavenworth under President Obama. Now Green Beret Major Matthew Goldstein and Navy SEAL Chief Edward Gallagher have been court-martialed. Killing terrorist combatants ought not to be a crime. To restore freedom to those who fought for ours, sign my petition at restorefreedom.info. Congressman Duncan Hunter and I will deliver your message to Washington. Let's rally for unfairly accused combat warriors. Restorefreedom.info. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This message is paid for by the Uniformed Services League.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to introduce retired Colonel Doug Mastriano. He, like me, serves on the Military Advisory Board to the Uniformed Services League. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Doug.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Doug, give us a quick summary of your military service. Why'd you join? What'd you do?
Yes, I grew up as the son of a Navy man. And one of my earliest memories of my dad was he was a crewman in the back of a Navy helicopter, and he flew about 100 feet above our house and was waving at us. My dad looked like a giant, like a hero to me. He's like, I want to be like him. But I wasn't so keen on his six-month floats when he'd be gone for 6 months at a time out at sea. And so I'm thinking, well, I want to be in the service, and spent a lot of time with my Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe Guba was with the 3rd Army under Patton during World War II, and he used to tell me stories of his experience in Europe, especially during the Battle of the Bulge when his tank was destroyed by a Tiger. And I thought, you know what, the Army's a place for me. So I was commissioned in 1986. First assignment was with the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment in Nuremberg, Germany, patrolling the Czechoslovakian and East German borders. Both those countries don't exist anymore. And participated in the last few years of the Cold War, saw the Iron Curtain come down, and then ended up in Iraq. Well, actually Saudi Arabia to liberate Kuwait from the Iraqis for Desert Storm. And bounced around various assignments as a military intelligence officer in Washington, D.C., with the 3rd Infantry Division, Rock of the Marne, and other assignments. And then 9/11 happened. I was the lead planner for the operation to invade Iraq through Turkey. And obviously, things didn't go exactly how we planned, but the Turks had different ideas. And then deployed to Afghanistan 3 times, 2 voluntarily. They say never volunteer for anything. But you know the deal.
I know the deal.
When you're in the military and you train for the Super Bowl and, going to war, that's what you train for. And sitting on the bench for a few years after 9/11, it's like, you know what, this is for the birds. So I was with NATO for all 3 of my deployments to Afghanistan. 2 of my volunteered for. One was supporting the Italians on a mission, and then a multinational corps out of Poland. And then finally deployed with my unit at Heidelberg, Germany, and brought my guys down there and had a multinational group of about 80 men and women from 18 nations, which was quite a complex environment. I retired a year and a half ago, like most folks in my shoes, fix them and get a government job, but see there's a greater need in actually serving as an elected official, and recently was elected as a member of the Pennsylvania Senate and to be sworn in about a week.
Well, congratulations on that. I knew you won your race. I didn't know when you were going to get sworn in. So glad to have another combat veteran serving us in the legislature.
That's a big deal because I was looking at people's bios. Maybe I missed one or two, but in the Senate, there's 50 here in Pennsylvania. I think I'm only going to be one of two veterans, you know, in that chamber, which is kind of unsettling because there should be more veterans stepping up.
I could not agree more with you, Doug. Okay, let's talk about the Uniformed Services League. Generally speaking, what do they do?
It really is. It's looking out for our soldiers right here, our soldiers, Marines, airmen, and sailors overseas. Obviously, it's a strange time we live in because we're facing an adversary in some ways, which you experience as a young man in Vietnam. You know, it's unconventional warfare, ununiformed people running around and doing insurgent guerrilla tactics. It's not new to history, but it's something that's unusual because our laws of land warfare obviously fit better for conventional war when you're facing a foe that's in uniform and abiding by rules as well. And in this time of trouble in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere, bad things happen. There's the fog of war, and sometimes actions are taken that look a little gray, and especially by politicians who find it easy to punish or to lay blame at service members for actions they might disagree with. And so it has the backs of our soldiers. We've seen all too often, especially in the last administration, where good, honorable men are tossed in jail and for dubious circumstances for doing their duty, and it's kind of a dark time. I'm heartened that Donald Trump has our back, so things are turning.
Well, I agree with you. I think things have turned. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the Uniformed Services League with Colonel Doug Mastriano. Doug, USL's got a big event coming up on the 10th of July, basically built around Lieutenant Clint Lawrence. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Uniformed Services League is obviously where we're going to go down. You and I will be down there together making a case that Clint Lawrence should have the charges listed against him because the charges are once again dubious. So on 10 July, we'll be in Washington, D.C. making our case to political officials. That includes the great Congressman Duncan Hunter and a good friend of mine, Congressman Scott Perry, a Brigadier General in the Pennsylvania National Guard. And we have friends in Washington, D.C. And so we're going to bring the case that Clint Lawrence should be honored for his service and these dubious charges are lifted and he should be let go. We're also going to talk about, of course, Chief Gallagher, Army Special Forces Major Matthew Goldstein, and Sergeant Derek Miller, and as well as Private Corey Stewart, all of whom seem to be under charges in strange circumstances for their military service. And we want a hard look at lifting these charges off these folks and letting them go free because if looking at what we know, there's really nothing unjustly done during your service in combat.
No, I know Clint Lawrence's story quite well. I did almost exactly the same thing in Vietnam, and I was told I was a good platoon leader. So it is obscene that a combat soldier who engages the enemy in combat with a purpose of achieving his mission, taking out the enemy, and protecting his soldiers, is secondarily judged by having committed murder. That's nonsense. And there's going to be a multi-hour meeting in the Congress's office building on the 10th to build a consensus and hopefully to take a challenge to the president and others to get these guys set free. This is just amazing to me that this could happen. And like you, I'm delighted that apparently, because I don't think those kind of charges have occurred in the current administration. Have you seen that, Doug?
No, I haven't. And I agree with you. It sickens me that we have 1% of the population willing to go off and fight our wars and keep us safe. And then when they're doing their duty, look, we're not talking about war crimes. There are no war crimes here. And in the heat of battle, in complex, foggy, ambiguous situations here, men and women take actions that are going to be second-guessed by politicians and lawyers in Washington, D.C. That is wrong, and we don't have the backs of our servicemen. We need to man up and stop sorting through the grain here trying to find fault. These guys are innocent. There's no doubt about it. And in a fog of war, I doubt any of us have done anything differently.
Well, you know, I've been there, and you can't judge somebody else's situation by yours, but my number one job is to get the job done and, two, to protect my troops and not to worry about who might get killed on the other side. Indeed, my job was to target them. So this is nonsense. First, we got to get the guys who are still in jail out of jail. We got to keep the ones who aren't yet in jail from going to jail. And for those who already served their time and are out as convicted murderers, we need to get that cleaned off completely so they can vote and not have parole officers and stuff like that. And I guess we also want to make sure there are laws passed to make sure this kind of crap can never happen again. That makes sense?
Yeah, it sure does. The United States is ruining these lives of these heroes by incarcerating them. And so they need to be exonerated, and the records need to be cleaned up and expunged, as you mentioned. And we need to pay full restitution, because some of these folks, obviously their careers are done, and their opportunities to move on in life here are pretty hampered and limited by the smear campaign the left has done. You know, the left is so eager to call cast aspersions at military men and women serving overseas. And I would say they just need to man up and go do their duty then as well, since they like hiding underneath their desks in Washington, D.C.
Well said. Doug, before I let you go, how can people learn more, plug in? How can they do that?
Yeah, so my webpage is Fight for PA, you know, Fight for Pennsylvania, fightforpa.com. And on Facebook, we have a large following. It's called Doug Mastriano Fighting for Freedom.
And you can also go to restorefreedom.org for information about this event on Sunday. So stay in touch with Doug. I hope I can see you or see your support on the 10th of July. Thank you, Doug, for taking time to join us today. And thank you for your service to our nation. I look forward to seeing you in July.
Thank you, my friend.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss a trip to Poland for some Holocaust survivors. Then we'll review May's Movie of the Month. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Do 18 with each arm, then stand at ease, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Killing terrorist combatants ought not to be a crime. Yet Lieutenant Clint Lawrence is at Fort Leavenworth for 19 years. Green Beret Major Matthew Goldstein and Navy SEAL Chief Edward Gallagher are also accused of killing the enemy in combat. To restore freedom to those who fought for ours, sign my petition at restorefreedom.info. Rally for unfairly accused combat warriors. Restorefreedom.info. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This message is paid for by the Uniformed Services League.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says it's pretty likely that he will impose new tariffs on Mexico, accusing the country of failing to stop the flow of migrants and asylum seekers from Central America.
We are going to see if we can do something, but I think it's more likely that the tariffs go on, and we'll probably be talking during the time that the tariffs are on and they're going to be paid.
And as far as all this talk of protests going on while the president is visiting the UK, he says,
I didn't see the protesters until just a little while ago, and it was a very, very small group of people put in for political reasons. So it was fake news. Thank you.
Former White House officials Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson are being told to withhold information from the democratically led House Judiciary Committee. The order came from the White House, and the documents are related to their time at the White House. The Judiciary Committee is said to be investigating potential abuse of power and obstruction of justice. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Andro 400 Max, man, that's a game changer. You know, I don't eat as much as I used to, and I don't miss it, and I don't feel deprived. I've lost 37 pounds, and the spare tire around my waist is gone. I mean, it's gone. Plus, I've got a lot more energy. You know, I couldn't be happier.
Now, listen to what Bill said about Andro 400.
I have tried all kind of different things to lose weight for years, and this thing is crazy. I've lost 20-something.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com, or comment on Facebook. It's a privilege to welcome to the show Paula Leibowitz, who's with the FIDF, that's the Friends of the Israeli Defense Force. A few weeks ago, we interviewed two Jewish ladies who were Holocaust survivors, and Paula is going to talk about a trip with them to Poland. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Paula.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Paula, tell us about your background. How did you become involved with the FIDF and with this trip? Talk to us about that.
So I'm the director for the Friends of the IDF, and I began working here 5 years ago. And what led me to taking on this position was, number one, my love for Israel. Having lived in this community my whole life, I was involved with another organization that raised money for Israel. And I do know and knew from visiting Israel a few times that the backbone of the country is the Israeli soldiers who protect Israel and their people and their citizens.
Indeed, almost every citizen is or has been a member of the IDF, right?
It's mandatory service for all that turn 18, male and female.
If you're a Jew.
If you're a Jew, and if you're not and you choose to join, you can.
Yes, indeed. So I've been to Israel, too, and my admiration for them is great. And beyond that, I consider Israel to be the one truly dependable ally that the United States has in this world. So that's my background. Okay. Talk to us about the ladies that you took on this trip to Poland and then on to Israel, right?
That is correct. So this mission, from Holocaust to independence, visit starts in Poland and ends in Israel, and it's titled accordingly because these two ladies who were Holocaust survivors, who thankfully are still here, up in age, but nevertheless, dynamic individuals, they were there to share their story and relive their experiences through Poland, accompanied by FIDF supporters. So it's important to share the story, and so that, of course, this never happens again. And they started in Krakow, which was once home to more than 60,000 Jews, and they traced the community steps from the city's ghetto to the Bucyna Forest, where the Nazis had executed more than 800 children. Then they traveled to Auschwitz, Birkenau, concentration and extermination camps.
That had to be both hard for them and good to see that it's there as a reminder so that it won't happen again.
Exactly. And what I heard, Sophie is a local Holocaust survivor here from Michigan. Sophie said, walking through again, through the camps, reliving her history with the IDF soldiers, the young soldiers, it was the experience of a lifetime, and she felt so proud of them and happy that she could be there with them so that they could learn and understand why it's so important that they protect Israel and the Jewish population, not only in Israel, but worldwide.
Indeed, if there is one significant movement around the world that is maybe a little more intense now than it was maybe 10 years ago, it's anti-Israel, anti-Semitism. That's
exactly.
My opinion. Is it the same? Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. Every day there's another story, and, you know, not just here in the States, but all over the world. And this historic delegation trace the modern history of Jewish people through the memories of the Holocaust survivors and the eyes of the IDF soldiers. And when you're on the mission, the supporters, the soldiers, the Holocaust survivors, they learn the story of the Jewish people's near extinction in Europe, then the creation of a Jewish homeland 71 years ago when they land in Israel and see modern Israel as it is today. And it's important that the new generation of Jewish defenders of the Jewish people understand why it's important to safeguard our legacy today.
It certainly is. I do appreciate the fact, because my son and I were in Germany and Czech Republic and that area earlier this year. I do appreciate the fact that those countries are not hiding the fact. There are Holocaust museums. There are the camps that you can visit.
That is true. I've been to both places. I've been to Berlin. I've been to, and I've seen the, and Prague. They are trying very hard to show the world again that this will not happen again, and they've built memorials to share with visitors, young and old.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the Holocaust and a trip to Poland with two Holocaust survivors, with Paula Leibowitz from the Friends of the IDF. Paula, how did the young IDF troops respond to all this?
They were all just moved by not only the stories that both of the survivors shared, and this group of Israeli soldiers are part of a program that one of the many well-being programs FIDF raises money for, and that's called Witnesses in Uniform. So through their education on what happened in the past, meeting real survivors who could tell their own personal stories just brought tears to their eyes. And that's what I learned firsthand from hearing from Sophie, because she is from Michigan, and we had the opportunity to sit down and talk after her incredible experience on this mission.
Indeed. And as Sophie was a guest on this show a bit over a month ago, she's an amazing lady with a life is still in her. She hasn't given up, has she?
Oh, she has not. And this was her mission, to tell her story. She's almost 90, and she's proud to admit it, and grateful that she is here today and calls every step of her survival a miracle. And she's right.
She is right. Paula, take a minute now and talk to us about Friends of the IDF. That's an organization in the United States. Maybe
that
it's elsewhere,
true,
too, but it's in the United States. Who are they? What do they do? How can people learn more or get involved?
Okay. So the Friends of the IDF, Friends of the Israel Defense Forces, was established in 1981 by a group of Holocaust survivors. It is a not-for-profit humanitarian organization with a mission of offering educational, cultural, recreational, and social programs and facilities that provide hope, purpose, and life-changing support for Israel soldiers. Its FIDF is non-political. It's a non-military organization. We don't provide what the IDF provides for the soldiers. We give them purpose and hope and love and financial assistance. And there are chapters all across the United States, with one in Panama, that support these soldiers. In 2018, the Friends of the IDF raised over $139 million for the well-being of Israeli soldiers, and that just shows the incredible dedication of our supporters from across the country. Also, as part of FIDF's educational mission, every year we do bring, as I told you, the IDF officers and soldiers together with all the supporters and Holocaust survivors to Poland so they can learn. The organization is led by a national president, Bobby Cohen, and our Friends of the IDF national director and CEO, Major General Reserve Meir Cliffy Amir.
Yes, and the good general has been a guest on the show, too.
Yeah,
Paula,
right.
Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your work for our nation's only true ally. I'm proud to call you a friend and hope we can work together some more.
And I love what I do, and I'm proud to have the honor to support these great young men and women throughout Israel. Thank you, Denny.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll review the movie of the month, and then it's time for our weekly mailbag. We've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at about 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, 20 at a time. Once your range are ready, then stand at ease. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I ordered my men to open fire on the enemy in Vietnam. For doing the same thing in Afghanistan, Lieutenant Clint Lawrence was court-martialed and sent to Fort Leavenworth under President Obama. Now Green Beret Major Matthew Goldstein and Navy SEAL Chief Edward Gallagher have been court-martialed. Killing terrorist combatants ought not to be a crime. To restore freedom to those who fought for ours, sign my petition at restorefreedom.info. Congressman Duncan Hunter and I will deliver your message to Washington. Let's rally for unfairly accused combat warriors. Restorefreedom.info. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This message is paid for by the Uniformed Services League.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time to review our movie of the month for May. Joining us now is Diane Raver, the founder of Garden State Film Festival. Welcome back, Diane.
Thank you, Denny. I'm always happy to be with you.
Hey, it's always fun and productive. Diane, our movie of the month is The Day After Peace. You're great at coming up with movies that fit our military culture. Wow, did you do a great job this time.
Well, this is a different, you know, this is a true, it's a documentary. It's a true story of a young man who really tried to make an impact on at least getting one day of peace, and what that would mean for groups to be able to inoculate children and get food in, all of those wonderful things, what just one day of a ceasefire worldwide would mean. Sadly, it's a little bit older now, that film. I'm trying to remember what year we screened it at the Garden State Film Festival. The 21st of September is officially the Day of Peace, and yet you really don't hear anything about it. It's a sad state of affairs.
Well, hate does seem to be a dominant thing around this nation and around the world. We have to keep trying. If we don't try it, you'll never get there.
Well, that's why I feel this film is so important. If everybody who doesn't know, and again, as he said, the only way he's able to get this information out is through festivals like mine, which just shows that we are on the front line of freedom of speech in this country. Getting information like that is so important, and if it's just a few people at a time, if we all stop on the 21st of September to realize this is the day of peace and tell our friends, perhaps we can have an impact.
Well, yes. Who is against peace?
I couldn't imagine.
And certainly combat soldiers are in favor of peace. I don't really appreciate being shot at. I don't know any law enforcement officers that like getting shot at. I don't know any civilians that like getting shot at.
Yeah.
So can't we just think about it? And yes, there are groups that grew up hating each other. They were taught in school to hate each other. We can stop that. And if we don't try, for sure we won't. That's what I loved about this movie, and my listeners did too. It's a challenge to do something that is, in one respect, almost mission impossible. Oh, but the value, the price, the reward, amazing.
So what did your folks say? What was the reaction?
Well, one of the funniest remarks was, wow, the guy was so committed to doing it, he even got his hair cut in order
to talk. Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it?
Yeah. I appreciate that. That shows commitment.
Yeah.
But also the hatred that was manifested in some people during their interviews. I can't do that for them. They're blah, 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 blah. Everybody could just say, I'll suck it up and I'll eat it for a day just for peace. The comments were just, wow, why aren't we doing this?
Yeah,
that's what they
exactly.
were.
Exactly. Because nobody knows. That's why.
That's it.
The media has not embraced this, which is bad. You know what I mean? You see another school shooting, there was just one a few hours ago. Another mass shooting, but you don't see anything to offset. We're only seeing the bad stuff, and we really need to understand that fundamentally, as humans, we're good people.
Yes.
So that's why, again, seeing films like this becomes, you can see why I'm passionate about what I do.
Indeed, I do. And, folks, that was an impressive movie. The movie of the month for June is Marcus Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Wow, will that one get you thinking, too?
Yeah, that's especially poignant for our friends in the military. That one, I won't give it away, but is a... Was she active or was she retired? I can't remember
she was active for a while.
And her husband, who was of Mexican descent, got deported, even though they were married and had, I think, 3 children.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's just horrifying, and I hope you enjoyed that.
Indeed. Troops, you know that you can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, click on the blog to get the link for the free viewing of the movie, and I'd appreciate receiving your comments. Diane, thank you for being a part of the Front Lines of Freedom team. I really appreciate all that you do.
Well, of course, it's an honor and a privilege, and thank you for your service. We just had Memorial Day here, and it's a privilege to be on your show every month, Denny.
Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Cora, a Navy vet whose husband is a police officer, really appreciated the salute to the police.
Cora, we agree.
Sam appreciated the JAG officer giving some details on getting the pardon for our combat vet. It's outrageous that our military could do that to its own.
Sam, you hit the nail right on the head. I think we have too many military lawyers. Well, this is the time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who's no longer with us. However, I don't have any honorees right now, so we're planning to end this segment if we don't get some very soon. Well, now it's time for military history. On 6 June 1944, known as D-Day, General Dwight Eisenhower, Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Forces in World War II, initiated the massive invasion of Europe called Operation Overlord. By the first week of June 1944, Nazi Germany controlled most of Western Europe. Allied forces numbering 156,000 were poised to travel by ship or plane over the English Channel to attack the German army dug in at Normandy, France. And on June 5th, Eisenhower had a window of only 4 days of decent weather in which to make that invasion happen. When bad weather hit the channel on June 4th, after a promising but cautious report from his meteorologist at 9:45 p.m. on June 5th, Eisenhower told his staff, "Let's go." That night, from Allied headquarters in England, Ike, as he was later affectionately called, composed a solemn letter, an inspirational statement that was delivered the next day as a letter into the hands of every soldier, sailor, and airman to embark on Operation Overlord. Reminding the men that the eyes of the world are upon you and that their opponents would fight savagely, Ike exhorted them to be brave, show their devotion to duty, and accept nothing less than victory. In closing, he wished the troops good luck and sought the blessings of Almighty God on this great and noble undertaking. At the time, no one knew that, along with the statement, Eisenhower had also scribbled a note in which he accepted all the blame in case the mission failed. The note remained crumpled in his pocket. And that is military history for today. Skip, it's time for our Armed America Report. What do we have?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A Florida father chased down and shot a carjacking suspect who deputies say drove off with the man's 2012 Honda and his 6-year-old son who was sitting inside the vehicle at the time. Just after 2:30 a.m. Saturday, 29-year-old Lamar Thurman got behind the wheel of the owner's car, which was left running outside a residence, while the unidentified victim said goodbye to friends. The carjacker drove away, but the boy's father and his friends gave chase. The carjacker crashed the car about 5 miles away, and the vehicle temporarily became stuck before he managed to free it as the father and his friends approached. He tried to drive away again, but the father opened fire, hitting the felon several times. He crashed about 200 yards away. The child was unharmed.
Thanks, Colonel. This is a very difficult scenario, simply because the 6-year-old child was in danger during the entire incident. There are so many ways this innocent child could have died. He could have been killed in an auto accident. He could have been murdered by the carjacker. He could have even been killed by his own father's stray bullets. This child is lucky to be alive. First, let's look at how this entire tragedy could have been prevented. 1. Never, never, never leave your child alone in the car. Not even at a friend's house. 99.9% of the time, everything will be fine, but it only takes that one time and your child can die. And to leave the car running is even worse. It's not the father's fault that this man stole his car, but he does bear some responsibility. 2, nothing good ever happens away from home at 2:30 a.m. Whenever possible, be home by 11 p.m. and get your whole family tucked safely into bed and turn on your alarm system and sleep until morning. 6-year-olds shouldn't be out and about socializing at 2:30 in the morning, and neither should their parents. Now, some people would criticize the father for shooting at the fleeing vehicle with the child inside. I watched a video of a similar incident where the father opened fire and accidentally killed his little girl. However, I may have done the same thing in this particular scenario. After all, you can't just let a kidnapper and carjacker drive away with your child. But if you have to shoot, make sure you are well-trained, accurate, and know for sure where your bullets are going to land. The father must have known that because all his bullets were on target and the child was unhurt. Nonetheless, all's well that ends well, and I'm sure the carjacker and the father are much wiser.
Amen to that. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Senator Mike Lee will discuss his book, Our Lost Declaration, that's the Declaration of Independence. We'll also talk with Air Force vet Ron Kraft about how his Air Force tanker saved a fighter, and we'll talk with Max DeBack, who will report this summer as a cadet to the U.S. Air Force Academy.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else. On the Front Lines of Freedom, dismissed. Killing terrorist combatants ought not to be a crime. Yet Lieutenant Clint Lawrence is at Fort Leavenworth for 19 years. Green Beret Major Matthew Goldstein and Navy SEAL Chief Edward Gallagher are also accused of killing the enemy in combat. To restore freedom to those who fought for ours, sign my petition at restorefreedom.info. Rally for unfairly accused combat warriors. Restorefreedom.info. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This message is paid for by the Uniformed Services League.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel. Online. On your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Vice President Mike Pence is in eastern Oklahoma surveying some of the storm damage that state has endured.
I just want to say how grateful we are for all the members of the law enforcement community, all of the first responders who've been working 24-7 through all of these tremendous storms and challenges. Our hearts grieve for the loss of life.
President Trump declared a major disaster in three Oklahoma counties that were devastated by floods, tornadoes, and other severe storms. Speaking at a press conference in the UK, President Trump says it's pretty likely that the U.S. will impose tariffs on Mexico.
Mexico shouldn't allow millions of people to try and enter our country, and they could stop it very quickly. And I think they will. And if they won't, we're going to put tariffs on.
The president says Mexico is failing to stop the flow of migrants and asylum seekers from Central America. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Andro 400 Max, man, that's a game changer. You know, I don't eat as much as I used to, and I don't miss it, and I don't feel deprived. I've lost 37 pounds, and a spare tire around my waist is gone. I mean, it's gone. Plus, I've got a lot more energy. You know, I couldn't be happier.
Now, listen to what Bill said about Andro 400.
I have tried all kind of different things to lose weight for years, and this thing is crazy. I've lost 20-something.
Hi, I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like a picture of Kyle pretending to put his fingers on top of another national monument, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Kyle, it's that you hate that he's there and you're sitting in a bathroom stall at work. Don't hate like Kyle's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
A Democratic governor is calling for new gun control measures in his state after an incident last week, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam says he's calling for a special state legislative session on gun control in the aftermath of last week's mass shooting in Virginia Beach. Northam saying society must not accept gun violence as inevitable.
It is wrong that we now view these mass shootings as the normal. In fact, it is wrong that we view gun violence in general as the new normal.
On Friday, a public works employee killed 12 people at a municipal building before he was killed by police. His motive still isn't known. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And on news that Fed Chief Jerome Powell has signaled that the central bank is open to cutting interest rates to boost the economy, the Dow has responded positively. Currently, the Dow is up over 400 points with just under an hour left of trading on Tuesday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A new study came out that found that 63% of kids in the United States spend over 2 hours a day on recreational. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Mary Piper. She's a clinical psychologist and therapist. And one of the things we discussed was regarding screen time, how girls can handle social media, and some of the ways they can use it to actually thrive in our world.
Well, I guess the main point I would like to make to you is that social media affects every aspect of identity building and girls' development, emotional, cognitive, maturational, physical, and so on. So one of the things that we're very much urging is to have a longer discussion based on this new book, Reviving Ophelia, about how we can help girls have the important developmental milestones as a part of their life that they had even in 1994, but because of social media, they're staying home alone on Saturday nights, watching Netflix, and playing around with their device instead of being out in the world with their friends, learning how to take care of themselves.
And finally, CVS plans to turn more than 1,000 of its drug stores into healthcare centers. The nation's biggest pharmacy chain announced on Tuesday that they will begin testing the concept with a Houston area store called Health Hub. Those stores will include the CVS Minute Nurse Practitioners, along with space for yoga classes. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.